Welcome to the Function Tennis Podcast. I'm your host, Fabio Molle, and my goal is to bring you insights and lessons from players, coaches, parents, and experts who are ingrained in the world of high-level tennis. Today, I speak to the current boys' world number one, Joel Schweitzer, and I find out more about him, his road to world number one, and transition to the men's game. Before we kick things off, a quick mention of our podcast sponsors, ASICS, who make my favorite tennis shoe, as you know, and I'm really enjoying their latest version of the shoe I love the most, the Solution Speed FF3. It's light, comfortable, provides plenty of traction, and if it works for the demon Alex Diminuar, it's definitely good enough for me. So if you want to try one out, ASICS actually have a One ASICS member program, which you can join for free on asics.com, and it allows you to try them out for up to 90 days, and they have a return policy. You can send them back. It's really worth having a look at that if you want to try them out. If you've never worn them before, I recommend that. And if you have any questions at all, please let me know. Okay, here's Joel. Hi, Joel. Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have the world number one boys junior on the show. So thanks for making the time. Question, how do you pronounce your surname?
My surname, yeah, it's Schweitzer. Yeah, it's pretty complicated. Many referees are pronouncing it wrong.
How do they pronounce it?
Many different ways.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it here because I'm going to butcher it. I don't want to be on record for butchering your surname, but great to have you on and want to find out more about you. So maybe you can kick things off telling us, like, when and where did tennis start for you?
I started when I was around 6 or 7 years old in South Africa, where I grew up. My dad used to play tennis professionally. So I started with him, and then we moved to Austria, and then I had my first lessons.
And how old were you when you moved to Austria?
Around 7 or 8.
Okay. And yeah. Are you Austrian or South African?
50-50. So my mom's from South Africa and my dad's from Austria.
Davis Cup?
I'm playing for Austria.
Okay. Well, it's probably better. You're in Europe, good team. You have some good players. No disrespect to South Africa. But so you start playing tennis. Where about in Austria did you play?
I started at my home club in Hart, where I live. But now, like 2 years ago, I moved to Vienna because my team, my coach is there. So I have my own apartment. And yeah.
So your parents are still back in the old town. You're living there by yourself, is it?
Yeah, I live by myself. So Hart is like 2 minutes from Switzerland. It's directly at the border. Okay. And Vienna is directly at the other side of Austria.
A bit of a trek. And when did you realize when you were a kid, like, actually, I'm really good at tennis?
Well, nationally, I was always like one of the best in Austria. And in Europe, I was decent. My results was all right. And then with 15, 16, I started getting really, really good, getting better. Then I won the European Championships where I played a really good tournament, especially in the final. And then from that moment on, I was playing much better.
And did you always have a plan to go professional, or was it like in 15, 16, you did well and you're like, okay, maybe I can go further here?
No, I always wanted to go professional. So since I was like 10, 11 years old, but there was always the question, am I good enough? And yeah, now I know I have the chance to be a good player and just have to use it and work hard.
And does your dad give you some good advice?
Maybe, but I'm not listening to him. So
he stays over there. Did he ever coach you? No. Or there was just another coach all the time? Who is your coach?
Jürgen Meltzer is my coach.
Okay.
So I'm with the Federation, but he's my coach. I'm working with him on the tennis court. And yeah, I never really practiced with my dad. Just when I was smaller, I played a few times with him, but nothing more.
You're like, Dad, stay over there. Does he come watch you play?
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm playing in Austria, he does. Some, like last year in Kitzbühel, he came, but I don't really like it that much when my family's watching.
No. So they're not.
I'm getting nervous. I don't know.
Does it make you a little bit edgy when your family's there?
Yeah, It's just, especially when my mom's watching, she doesn't know the sport. So when I'm like behind and I'm pissed at myself and I'm watching outside and she's doing like, I don't know, some comment, and it's not going to end well.
She's embarrassed by it. And she's like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
And so obviously having Jørgen Melzer as a world-renowned player, that must be unbelievable to learn from him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he was a really, really good player, top 10 singles and doubles. Yeah, it's working really, really good with us. He's really in this career as much as I am. He's giving his best every day, and yeah.
And look, just throw back to your junior career. Do you remember your first Tennis Europe event?
I think I do. I think it was the Bambini Cup in Kufstein, which I won, I think, 2 years later or the next year. Yeah, in Austrian Tyrol. So I think it was there, yeah.
And who else your age group in Austria? Any other players we know of?
Yeah, Nico Hipfel is there. Okay. Yeah, his uncle was a really good player, Markus Hipfel. He was struggled with injuries, but he was a really good player. He has much potential. And also Janis Graski, which is also practicing where I am at the same federation, same club. Yeah, and then some other players, of course.
And in the were you trained with Jørgen Melzer? Is that within the federation or is it external?
It's with the federation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you've a good solid like equipment, courts, everything's indoors.
Everything's perfect. Yeah. Great fitness coach. Good physio. Everything is there. Everything is perfectly set up for a good career.
So no excuses.
No excuses, no.
And did you play any other sports when you were young? Or was it just always tennis?
Yeah, when I was in South Africa, I used to play rugby and cricket or also football. But like professionally taking lessons, it was only tennis.
Okay. And do you ever go back to South Africa?
The last time I was there like 5 years ago.
Okay.
But I'm planning on going this year again in the end of the year.
Is there just on vacation or for tennis?
No, not for tennis, for vacation.
Yeah, there's not much tennis down there, is there? Is there any tournaments?
I think there are some futures and a junior tournament, but it's not that big there. So, yeah, just for vacation there.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play tennis. And just, you know, since school is a big question we always get with junior players. I know you're that bit older, but are you still studying or did you stop or how does that work the past few years?
For the last years, I've been doing online schooling. Before that, I was in a normal school, high school. I'm not finished yet with school. I'm focusing on tennis now and I'm just taking my time to be really, my whole focus is on this sport, doing my absolute best to reach my goals and yeah.
And when you were in school, when did you play tennis? Before school, after school? Was the school friendly to you playing tennis like this?
Yeah, when I was younger, I only had like one practice a day. I had school until 2 p.m. and then at 3 I had practice or so. Then the last year I was in school, it was morning, I had practice, then school, and then practice again. It's mentally tough because you don't really rest, especially in the evening when you also want like time to just chill and lay on the couch or with friends, and you're just tired the whole week, I think. That was a big part why I decided to move on and doing online school to have my full focus on this sport.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like you're just going from one thing to the other to the other. You probably slept quite well.
Yeah, I slept in school most of the time.
And tennis players often talk about, look, they miss out on things, obviously being with friends and other things. For you, like, obviously you grew up, you played a lot in Austria, your hometown, then you moved. But what have you missed out on the most, you feel, so far to get where you are now?
I actually don't think that it's that much you're missing. Of course, you have to eat healthy. You do certain things. You shouldn't drink alcohol and you shouldn't go out every weekend. But for me, it's not that tough because I don't really like it. I tasted alcohol once or twice. I didn't like it, so I'm quite lucky. But for me, I didn't miss much, or I'm not missing much. On the weekends when you're here, you can still visit your friends. So it's actually not that hard.
Yeah, it sounds like it's definitely easier. You stayed within Austria, as you said, you can visit your friends at weekends, and your parents are close by. So I know they're not allowed on the tennis court, but they're close by. That's good. And who's your biggest inspiration for you growing up?
I always idolized Rafael Nadal. And then, yeah, obviously Eugen. I mean, we have a very similar game style since I've been working with him. He's obviously also an idol of me. I loved watching Nick Kyrgios. Always a big show. Or also Roger Federer, of course, but that's pretty obvious.
And what about Dominic Thiem? Has he been inspiring for you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's Austrian. He was one of those players that could beat the big three like on every day. I think he was at his peak. He was the best player in the world. Unfortunately, he got injured. He's still trying to get back to where he was, and I think he can manage to do it. He just has to work hard and believe in himself.
Have you practiced with him?
I practiced last year with him, but not often. But yeah, it was a great practice. I mean, I can learn a lot from him. And
what's one thing you did learn from him?
He's so intense. Like he's trying really. Doing his absolutely best. Like even you can see it, the way he's playing, the way he's grunting, he's playing every ball with 100%, and that's a big factor in this sport.
Nice. And onto your junior and senior, you're playing a lot more men's tournaments now. Is that your plan for this year?
The plan is to make as many ATP points as possible to reach a high ranking, and I'll play the Paris. I'll play Paris. Obviously, I want to win it. That's also a goal of mine this year. And yeah, let's see if I'm able to make it.
Yeah, the last boys we had on this, my first ever podcast interview was with Holger Rune. He was number one at the time. So I know it's taken me a couple hundred episodes to get the world number one back again. So yeah, so best of luck in that. I'd be rooting for you. But what challenges, like, when you play your men's event and the boys' events, what are the biggest differences in the game?
The men's are way more physical. They can play for 3 or 4 hours straight without losing focus, without losing the concentration. In juniors, they have a lot of ups and downs, which I still have. That's also probably a reason why I didn't do that well at the moment here and at the men's. So that's probably the biggest part, just the physical strength and the mental, the way you can focus for the whole match, not so many ups and downs.
And do you feel when you come off court, you're physically more tired when you play the men's, you're dealing with a bigger ball all the time?
It's really, because you have to focus. So it's mentally, it's probably even mentally tougher than physically. Because you really have to play each point. With juniors, you can still, like, when you're leading 6-2, 3-1, you know, okay,
yeah,
it's probably going to be over. When you're playing men's, they're playing for money. They're just not playing for the tournament. And so they will fight until the end and try to win each point. So it's much tougher.
So if you're playing a junior match and you're like 6-1, 3-1 up, 99% of the time you should win that. If you don't, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, yeah.
Okay, I have heard that say many times. I've asked juniors what is the difference, and they always says, yeah, like juniors can just cop out really easy, like it's not their day, or they just, you know, you can win easy matches. So, yeah, I can imagine the men's where, you know, they're fighting for food for their family, and you know, it's a dogfight. And thing is, you could be playing a 30. You're 18. You could be playing a 35 year old man, strong physically at his strongest, and he's twice your age, a lot more experience. And Yeah, there's a lot to learn out there.
Big difference, yeah.
Yeah, and tell me, does Jurgen still hit a good ball?
He does, yeah. Especially when he practices 2 or 3 times, or even once is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still... I'm not always beating him, to be honest.
You just have to say that.
Yeah. On hard court, I lose most of the times, especially when I practice with him the day before or so. But yeah, I hope that turns around pretty soon.
it will. But hard work.
He still feels it really good.
Nice. And as from your junior career so far to get where you are today, is there any win that stands out the most for you?
Yeah, the European Championships or the junior finals I won last year. It was the biggest tournament I won until now. It boosted me. It made me the number one in the world. And yeah.
Did you feel pressure going into it?
Kind of. I mean, I just came in because one player pulled out. But
wow.
Yeah, but I knew that I have really good chances to win there. So I had kind of pressure, but somehow also not. But I dealt with it, and yeah.
Always easier going in as a lucky loser, or you feel like you feel probably a bit freer to strike through.
Of course, yeah.
Do you remember your first ATP point?
It was here where I'm right now, exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
It was at my second future I was playing. I actually made semis there, and yeah, I still remember the court. It's something you won't forget, I think.
Match point, what was it like? Were you serving or returning?
Serve and then return mistake from the opponent. So nothing special.
What were you going through your head? Just make the serve or let's go for it?
Actually, not that much. I was not thinking about it.
Okay, great.
At all, and just trying to play the point as every point. And yeah.
Good. It's still a good relief to get that and just move on to the next one and the next one, the next one. Great. And maybe what advice has somebody given you in your inner circle that stood to you the most?
To really focus on not making the same mistake twice, because you should learn from your mistakes. If you know what you did wrong, you should try your absolute best to do it better. Even if you fail differently, it's still an improvement. And yeah.
And apart from that, what other advice do you have for other juniors who dream to be, a top junior or move into the senior game?
Yeah, have fun, practice hard, and just try your best all the time. Then you'll succeed. The chances are very good.
And finally, Red Bull, I see on your hat. How is it? It's an Austrian thing, but people love to be sponsored by Red Bull. Does it give you a great privilege to be sponsored by them?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not almost a year ago I signed with them. Yeah, they send me a lot of Red Bull cans, which I like.
Do you?
But yeah. They also help me. Yeah, but they also help me a lot physically. They have the Athlete Performance Center in Austria. They have the best physios in the world, the best gym in the world, and they really help me there.
And when you go, I've seen some players at that active center that they have. What sort of testing do you do there?
Most of it I did before the preseason and after the preseason. V2 max, I don't know okay. how it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, VO2 max, yeah.
Yeah, it's just translated it from the German. That's important. Then just some other strength tests and stuff, yeah.
Tell the people what it feels like at the end of a VO2 max test.
Feels shit.
Yeah, you're gonna die.
You just want to lay down for the next 2 weeks.
So tough. I'm scared to do another one because, yeah, I suppose the fitter you are, the harder you can push through, and the harder it,
Exactly. Yeah,
it's horrible. So look, Joe, thank you very much for coming on. I'll be following your.
Thank you very much.
I'll be following your transition to the senior journey, and hope to see some more videos from you. They were quite popular. I posted one last week or about 2 weeks ago. By the time this goes out, it was really popular. So I'll be looking forward to more. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, maybe see you soon.
Hope you enjoyed that chat with Joel. As I've mentioned also before, junior interviews are always much shorter and snappier. You fire through the questions. And so wishing him a lot of luck. Next week, I have some good news regarding the podcast. Well, interesting news, changing things up for a few weeks. So can't wait for you to hear that. And until then, get out there, play some tennis, and thank you very much for listening.